The first scripture comes from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The second scripture comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her friends prepared her for burial and laid her in an upstairs room. But they had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him, "Please come as soon as possible." So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other garments Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he showed them that she was alive. The news raced through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a leather worker. The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly of the Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Sunday after church, a mom asked her very young daughter what the lesson in Sunday school had been about. And the daughter answered, "Don't be scared, you'll get your quilt." Well, needless to say, the mom was perplexed. And later that day, the pastor stopped by for tea, and the mom asked him, "What was Sunday morning's Sunday school lesson about?" And he said, "Be not afraid, thy comforter is coming." As a child, I grew up in a different world compared to today's. Many of you did also. And it was different from my mother's and my grandmother's as well. Well, back then, most of my clothes were made by my grandmother on her trusty Singer sewing machine. And later, I learned to sew for myself and made many of the clothes that I wore through high school. And clothing might have been washed in the GE washing machine in the basement, but they were brought outside and hung on a clothesline to dry. Solar energy before it became fashionable. And if socks developed a hole, you didn't throw them away. They were darned. And for those of you who might not know what darning is, it means to stitch it back together again. And then when they became too holy, you turned them into hooked rugs with all of the other old damaged socks. And if your shirt or your jeans, and in the 1970s, you turned your old jeans into purses, vests, or even skirts. And instead of buying bedspreads or comforters and blankets, you made quilts. And quilting has become an art form that sometimes it seems to die out and you don't know of any quilters, only to suddenly rise from the ashes like a phoenix and it becomes popular again. Well, I made my first quilt when my first niece was expected, and I've gone on to make quilts for her two children. And right now, I'm working on a quilt that, because somebody came 2 weeks early, it's not ready yet, and you can guess who that is. Well, during the shutdowns of COVID-19 in 2020 through 2022, I turned to quilting to fill my spare time, and I made either 6 or 7 quilts during that time frame. And I brought a few of them with me today that kind of shows the variety of what I did. I also made 2 Amish-looking quilts, but they are queen-sized, and they were just too big to bring. The black and white was a star pattern. I'd never done a star pattern because it always seemed too difficult. And I'd also never done a black and white quilt. So I don't know. There was just something about the COVID lockdown that seemed black and white. And then I worked, the one on the other side is all in batik fabrics. And I wanted to do something with batik fabric. And then I had never, ever made a grandmother's fan. And I just decided that if I could do black and white, I could do a lot of color. And instead of the fan look, I made it into kind of rainbow colors so that it would really stand out. In today's world, handcrafted items like quilts are in big demand. And you can usually find stores devoted to handmade items for sale, usually at some pretty hefty prices. Which brings us to this morning's story of Dorcas, also called Tabitha. And if I had gotten my way, my daughter Noah would have been named Tabitha. But my husband said, no, that's a cat name. Sorry. No bitterness there. 2,000 years ago, Dorcas, or Tabitha, was well known for her handcrafted items, which for that time wasn't so rare. And yet among the artisans of her day, she stood out. Her work was of great quality, and she worked on behalf of the poor. And when death took her, the entire community realized that it had lost a valuable resource. And they mourned her passing and told others of her good works and charitable deeds. And I'm breaking here. Is there any way we can get a little more air? I'm seeing lots of people fanning, and I know I'm about to pass out up here. It's so warm. Trust me, you don't want to see that. Well, when Dorcas died, the community threw a fit. I mean, all the widows stood weeping and showing tunics and cloaks and other clothing that Dorcas had made for them. They had a hard time accepting that she was gone. I mean, so strong was the sentiment that when some disciples heard that Peter was close by, they sent a message to him saying, please come to us without delay. Well, when someone dies, you understand that as much as you may mourn the loss, they're not going to return. But this community dispatched messages or messengers to the Apostle Peter, who arrived, and you know the rest. The response of the community to Dorcas' death gives us pause. When we die, there will certainly be a circle of friends and family who will miss us and mourn our absence. This is only natural and maybe primarily related to familial and relational bonds. But will there be a wider circle in the community adversely affected by our absence because of the impact our lives and our ministries have had on the community? Oh, sing hallelujah. Now, perhaps this is too high of an expectation to have for everyone. And yet this story tightens the lens on the importance of living for the benefit of others and not for ourselves. The loss of Dorcas was devastating for those who had come to depend on her charity. The Bible says she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. She didn't just dabble in good works. I mean, they weren't just a hobby of hers like quilting is to me. They were not a compartment in an otherwise busy life. Good works were her life. She had no room for anything else because it was overflowing with her good works and acts of charity. It was her totality. Good works were what Dorcas was. The Bible's rather clear. Our way of life is to be good works. And Dorcas is the perfect example, the gold standard, if you will. It is interesting that in this story, we never hear anything from Dorcas herself. Luke tells the story for her. She is full of good works. She dies, perhaps suddenly and unexpectedly. Peter restores her to life. She sits up. Peter shows her to be alive, and she resumes her work. For Dorcas, good works were not about her. I mean, she wasn't interested in establishing a nonprofit foundation, although there's nothing wrong with that. She didn't train volunteers or have apprentices, and there's nothing wrong with that either. She was just a simple woman who knew what she was good at, and she desired no more. She does her thing, good works and acts of charity. And by the way, she is the first woman in the New Testament to be called a disciple. And this disciple was a person whose vocation was to make handcrafted items for the widows and the needy. And I think Luke shares this anecdote perhaps to point out how the mandate of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 was already being fulfilled. I mean, the gospel had extended from Jerusalem and not only into Samaria, but now into the coastal regions. The Pentecostal fire was spreading and would soon be out of control. And when they send for Peter to come, I mean, this is Peter's first pastoral call, and he aced it. I mean, yes, he and John had an encounter with a crippled beggar, but bringing someone back to life, I mean, this was his first 911 call. Honestly, it's no doubt true that many people fear being asked to come without delay. I mean, what would we say to the person in the hospital, to the family in the throes of grief, or to the inmate in the prison who asked us to come without delay? I mean, those are good questions. But the work to which God calls us is not always simply so dramatic. It's more likely to involve simply being a person who does good in every action and gesture of his or her life. It's more likely to be simple thoughtfulness, something that comes as naturally as second nature or instinct, the instinct born of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the grief counseling, the hospital calls, and the prison visits are important and vital. But fundamentally, we are called to be full of or overflowing with good works. We need not fear a call to come without delay, because when the call comes, we are simply being asked to come and be who we are. Dorcas herself, like us, was a piece of work, all God's handiwork. We are handcrafted by God so that we might fulfill our vocation of good works. Will our good works consist of sewing and knitting? Maybe. Probably not. However, we are called to good works. What then are the good works that God would like us to be doing? And that's something for us to ponder as we move into a new week, with hearts and hands ready to serve God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.